Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, welcome to Cowboy Church. I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we are here to bring you church right in your home, because some of you are people that can't get to church. Some of you don't have a church, and some of you just rather not go to church and just listen to us. So we love you being here with us.
Well, see, the thing about church is this.
Mm-hmm.
The church is the affiliation of all people who've committed their life to Christ.
Right.
And it's sometimes a place where we go to worship mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm.
But the church talks about us being together somehow.
Right.
And
right.
And I just love it when we can get together, whether it's, you know, we've learned how to get together with three or four mm-hmm. or under 10 or
right.
at 6 feet apart or
exactly.
all of those kinds of things. And
it makes it sweeter, too.
Well, it does.
You know,
it
it's kind of like when you can't have a piece of chocolate cake. Like when you're on a diet.
Explain that to me, because I don't understand what you're talking about.
When you're not supposed to have a piece of chocolate cake.
I see.
Well, does it have more of a hold on you?
Yeah.
I mean, something that's forbidden, you really, really want it. And if it's forbidden for you to get together, you crave getting together with other people because you can't.
That's kind of what happened to Eve, you know, that you heard that.
Don't get that one.
The Garden of Eden wasn't mm-hmm. Louisiana, and we have proof now, because had it been in Louisiana, that they would have thrown away the apple and ate the snake.
Exactly, that's a good one. I'm going to tell my Louisiana friends that one. That's good. That's really good. Okay, so where was I?
Saying the things you can't have.
Right.
Use on chocolate, I think.
A chocolate cake, so it makes you want it more. So in the times when we have in the last year been told, you know, social distancing and don't get into more groups than 10. Boy, when you get together and have those times of fellowship, it makes it even sweeter. You're a pastor of church, Shepherd's Valley Cowboy Church. My husband's the pastor of Cornerstone Church in Atoka, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, those times when we get together in that church building and we see the same people that we haven't seen all week, and we get together and we get to hug on one another, it's the sweetest times in the world. I haven't
it
enjoyed
is.
Church this much in ages.
Yeah. One of the things that caught me is I realized that we really do change as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be the guy I didn't like to hug any, you know,
right.
not at all. Is for whatever reason, I just didn't like hugging.
But, yeah.
But I was encouraged by people that what they would do, they'd throw my hands out of the way and just hug me, you know? And I got to where I start out, I kind of hug the girls if it was a side hug, you
uh-huh.
know, like this. And then the guys started hugging me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long till then when that pandemic set in, whatever it was,
yeah.
we couldn't hug, we had to stay 6 feet apart. I found myself, oh, hug it. Wait a sec, I'm supposed to be 6 feet apart.
Right,
so
right.
I hate to admit it, but mm-hmm. I kind of like hugging everybody.
That's
now.
Right.
It's just a freedom.
That's exactly right. It's an extension of God's love towards people. And you know, Russ, I worried about in that time whether or not we were going to get out of that.
Did you?
We were going to, like, I can't hug. I'm out of the habit of that. But I don't think our nature is capable of that. I don't think we as Americans can do that, because it's just in our nature. And the big thing about it was, don't shake hands.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we were told, look people in the eye and extend your hand. Yeah, that's the way it is. But I believe we're gonna go back to that. And I believe that we're gonna be healthier for it, because our heart is warmed, and that's part of our immune system. If our heart is happy and healthy, then our body is healthy. We are so glad that you are here joining us for Cowboy Church today. We've got a wonderful service for you. Thank you for being here. God bless you. I did a hymns album a few years ago, and I got to researching the stories of how they were written, and about 99.9 of them were written in really hard times when, you know, How Great Thou Art, and In the Garden, and Rock of Ages, and all of these types of songs, and this one was no exception.
The guy that wrote this, his name was Tommy Dorsey, and I'm not talking about the one that you would probably think of. He was an evangelist, and he was a great musician. And his wife, Nettie, was expecting their first child, but he had a meeting to go to. He was very driven. So he got into his Model A, and he left her there, and he says, I'll be back. And he went to Chicago, and he had this meeting. I can just see them on the stage or on the pulpit, you know, and they were doing their evangelistic meeting, and all of a sudden a person came to him with a telegram, and it said, your wife, Nettie, has died in childbirth. She went into labor and had the baby. By the time he got back home, the baby had died too, and he went into this terrible depression, and he wouldn't sing, he wouldn't play, but his piano teacher, the one had schooled him, had mentored him, was very, very wise. He finally got him into a room, and he had a piano there. And he felt like, as much of a musician that he was and a person that expressed his emotions through his music, if he could just begin to get him to play his piano, he would be able to release that torture in his heart of losing his family. So he sat down one time and he started playing, and the words of this song came to him, the melody and everything. He said, Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on and just help me to stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storms, through the night, lead me on to your light. Precious Lord, take my hand. I don't know about you, but that makes the songs that I sing come alive for me. And that those people, in their torment and in their heartache, wrote these types of songs that have ministered to so many people.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. Through the storms, through the night, lead me on to your light, and take my hand. Precious Lord, and lead me home. When my way grows dread, Precious Lord, linger near. When my life, oh my life, is almost gone, hear my cry. Hold my hand, lest I fall, and take my hand, Precious Lord, and lead me home. When the shadows appear, and the night draws near, and my faith, oh, the faith I have, hold my hand, Precious Lord, take my hand and lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. Oh, I am tired, I am weak, and I Lord, and lead me home.
had an interesting thought. We've been reading through the Bible. Several of us are in a read the Bible through club. I think that's what they call it. That's not what they call it, but I can't think of what they call it. And we're reading it chronologically. You know, the Bible is not written in a chronological manner. You have to go, oh, this fits here and this fits here. But we're reading it through chronologically so you can get the sequence of how everything happened. And we're in Exodus, and the sequence is the same on how they left Egypt and how God dealt with the Egyptians and how he dealt with Pharaoh. And there was an interesting passage that was a little disturbing to me. It took me wrong for just a moment. And it's that part where Moses was kind of, I don't think he's arguing with God, but he was pointing out to God as if God didn't know something. Like, we never do that. That's a characteristic only known to Moses. And he said, God, you know that I can't speak very well in front of people, and I don't think I'm your guy. And God says, well, you know, I'm going to send Aaron to help you. And so he sent Aaron, and the words he said to Moses, he said, I'm sending Aaron, and you will be as God to him. I thought, wait a minute. Nobody can be as God. That doesn't make sense to me. And theologically, I thought, I know a lot of people have tried to do that. I don't see it ever working very well. But when God says something, then you need to go look at it because there's a reason why he said it. Let's dive into it. Let's read this scripture. This is about the relationship between Moses and Aaron. It says, so he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you. Because remember, Moses was complaining, I can't talk very good in front of people. And then it says this, and you shall be to him as God. It doesn't say you shall be to him God. You shall be to him as God. Then the next place in the Bible we find it happens to be three chapters later. This time he's talking about Pharaoh and Moses' role to Pharaoh, and it's the exact same role. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. In that role, you will be as God to Pharaoh. And to Pharaoh, Aaron will be as the prophet. So let's get into this, and it's really interesting to me. And I already preached it once, so I'm kind of excited to preach it again. I think I can improve on it some. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that your plans are absolutely amazing. God, I pray that we'd be able to tap into you and tap into what you have planned for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of things in the Bible are set up to be what we call types. It's a type of, and so in the Godhead, you have the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father plays the role of God the Father, yeah. His primary role is in a family the same as the Father. So actually in a family, the Father plays the role of God in the family. And in the family, the role that is played as a secondary, a support role in the Godhead is Jesus. And in the family, it's the wife. And then the Holy Spirit is not like the children necessarily. Every illustration breaks down a little bit. But he's the third of the Godhead. Now, if you look at that, who's more important, God the Father or God the Son? And the answer is yes, because they're both omniscient, they're both omnipotent, and they both are omnipresent. they all carry all of the attributes of God, but in the sequence and order of everything, the one that has the supreme entity is God the Father, and then the supportive role is Jesus. Now, we have these kind of relationships in a lot of different places. It's not just the family. In the church, I get to be the pastor. So in that, and it just feels really awkward for me to tell you this, but as the pastor of the church, my role is as God to the people. I'm not God. I don't have all his attributes, but I play the role because it's a relationship connection here today. It's not a position. It's a relationship. And God's into these relationship kind of situations. Johnny Wolgemuth plays the role of Jesus at the church because he's second. I'm going to tell you, I don't work near as hard as Johnny does. I'm probably not as good a person as he is. But in the church, that's the role we play. So we both do good at playing the roles. Are you beginning to understand how this works? If you have a job, you are either the boss or you're playing a secondary role or you're down the order somewhere. There is an order to everything that God does, and even chickens understand it. God has an order to everything. A chicken doesn't have a brain as big as the end of my little finger. And he's got it figured out. So it's not a difficult thing to do. So when God says to Moses, he says, you will be as God to Aaron, and you will be as God to Pharaoh. It's a relationship thing that is fascinating, and it fits into how we understand the role of mothers and fathers in a family. So let's get into it a little bit. As God to Aaron and Pharaoh gives the perfect example of how it should work and how it can fail, as it shouldn't be. The first one is to Aaron. Now, you know that Aaron was the older brother. So his older brother, I mean, I'm the oldest in the family. In the pecking order in the family, I was over Randy. And I let him know about it. It's just what you do if you're the older brother. I'm the older one here. I get to do this first. I get to play with the first toys. And when I wear my clothes out, you get to wear them. I'm first. That's how it works. How many of you older first siblings understand that? Yeah, okay. So we don't have any problem with that. What we do have a problem with this is asking Randy, what was your role? I always had to wear the hand-me-downs. I had, you know, second brothers, second sisters are where whining all originates. Just so you know. Aaron was the older brother, the older sibling, and God calls Moses to lead the people. So what that means is Aaron had some interesting choices to make. He chose God's plan because God says, I'll let Aaron be your spokesman. I'll let Aaron be your mouthpiece. And you can be as God to Aaron. Well, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Now, I'm telling you, Aaron had, the Bible talks about Moses being the most humble guy in the world. But Aaron had to be right there with him, didn't he? He had to humble himself as a rightful heir to everything in the family and make himself secondary to the role of Moses. You see how the secondary role works? And what's really interesting to me is that God just played along with Moses' dilemma. Moses says, I can't talk in front of people. And God goes, yeah, I've heard that before. No, serious, I can't talk to people. You know it, I can't talk to people. God says, I'll put Aaron in there with you. And everywhere else that you see him going, Moses is doing all the talking, and Aaron is having to carry the rod and through do the signs. Aaron hardly did any talking at all. I don't know of a sentence that he actually talked. Because they would come into the situation, and Moses would have the answers, and Aaron would go, yeah, that. Because Moses was the leader by God's design, and the rod that Aaron carried got to be the one that was a serpent. He got to be the one that held it over the water when it turned to blood. He was the one had to throw the dust up in the air. This odd relationship. Moses tells Aaron, he says, in the morning we're going to meet with Pharaoh, and I want you to throw the dust up in the air, and it will bring the lice. Oh, I have to throw the lice? I have to throw the dust? Why not you? Are you too good to throw dust? You know, there could have been a lot of situations, but Aaron humbled himself because he understood that that's God's plan, that's God's design, and if we're going to make this work, somebody has to make a decision. And if God says, I'm going to talk to Moses, it would be well for me to be able to talk to Aaron. I mean, to Moses also. I want to listen to what he has to say because God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. God brings order to everything. Now, as it shouldn't be, is Pharaoh. You know that God gave Pharaoh a promise? He told Pharaoh, he said, you, through you, I will set my people free. What an honor. How would that be if God came to Alvarado, Texas this morning, and as we're closing in prayer, God taps you on the shoulder. He said, Blue, I'm going to choose you to be president of the United States. How would you like that, huh? You'd be looking for your brother? Say, God, you know I can't do this. So Pharaoh has just the opposite problem. Pharaoh's the king. And God says to Pharaoh, this is how we're going to do this. You're going to set my people free. And the way you're going to do it is you're going to listen to Moses. I'm the king. You know, I was raised with that guy. You realize Moses was raised in the same palace as Pharaoh. I was raised with that guy. I'm in charge. You know that I'm the king. He is adopted. He can't be the guy. I'm the guy. And he rebelled against that. Now, look at this. God's going to get his will done one way or the other. What we have a choice is whether we're going to go along with God's will or we're going to stand in rebellion with God's will. And in rebellion to God's will is going to destroy everything that we have. Why are we saying this to moms? Because so often in the world that we live in today, the role of mom and the role of wife is scoffed at and looked at, and you're told, you don't have to do that. You're as good as anybody else. And they go through all of this rigmarole. And all God is saying is we have to have order for a family to work.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.